from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. You are still listening?
Vice President Gibran Rakabuming says U.S. tech company will open AI school in Solo. International seminar discusses Indonesia's foreign policy. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka revealed the plan of the multinational technology company from the United States, NVIDIA, to open a special school for the development of artificial intelligence AI in Solo, Central Java. This was conveyed by Vice President Gibran in his remarks at the Tanwir 1 meeting of the Muhammadiyah Youth Central Board in Jakarta on Thursday. Reported by Antara in his remarks, Vice President Gibran said that the news is an opportunity that needs to be captured by the younger generation.
Kemarin juga kita kedatangan tamu, bosnya NVIDIA.
Yesterday we had a guest, the boss of NVIDIA, that later he will invest in several cities, one of them is in Solo. He made an AI school. If there's an opportunity like this, young people should be able to fill, so do not let the government encourage, but the young people do not follow.
Jadi jangan sampai dari pemerintah sudah mendorong, tapi anak-anak mudanya tidak mengikuti.
During a visit to Jakarta Thursday last week, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang discussed the development of artificial intelligence in Indonesia. In his presentation, Huang emphasized the importance of utilizing AI technology for Indonesia as a step for the advancement of industry and society. Huang also stated that his side is ready to collaborate to advance AI in various sectors in Indonesia. The Habibie Center organized an international seminar with the theme Navigating the Future of the Indo-Pacific in Jakarta on Thursday. Executive Director of the Habibie Center, Muhammad Hassan Ansori, in his remarks said that the event aims to gather insights from Indonesian foreign policy experts and experts to get a comprehensive view of the new chapter of Indonesia's foreign policy.
With the Indo-Pacific region taking more than the significant spotlight in the global political and economic landscape, the wave of upcoming new administration across the region is in fact very relevant for us, Indonesia as well as ASEAN, and other regional actors to enter and delve deeper. The question, how does this different moving regional chessboard impact our resilient, strategic economy and strategic initiative? I'm confident that our editor forum, comprising 11 scholarly work from contributing authors, aim to offer valuable insight and evidence-based reference to help map the possible challenges.
Muhammad Hassan Ansori also hoped that through this seminar, he would get various perspectives and comments on Indonesia's current and crucial foreign policy in President Prabowo's administration. The international seminar presented speakers from stakeholders, academics, and international relations observers. The development of Indonesia's human resources through the values, culture, and aspiration of the nations globally can enhance Indonesia's positive image in the eyes of the international community. This was said by the Director of Public Diplomacy, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ani Nigeriawati in her remark. This was said by the Director of Public Diplomacy, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ani Nigeriawati, in her remarks at the international seminar Navigating the Future of the Indo-Pacific, held by the Habibie Center in Jakarta on Thursday. According to Ani, the Indonesian government also continues to increase efforts for innovative strategies to promote growth, inclusiveness, and resilience to be responsive to regional and global challenges.
Indonesia's commitment to strengthening its domestic potential is further reflected in its international approach through soft power diplomacy, which serves as a foundation of our foreign policy. By projecting the nation's values, culture, and aspirations globally, it enhances Indonesia's image as a pluralistic, democratic, and inclusive country. And this approach is also built on rich cultural diversity, multi-religious, multi-faith heritage, and historical experiences, enabling narratives that resonate regionally and globally. And the success of these efforts is driven by collaboration with multi-stakeholders, with civil society, with academicians, think tank, youth, women, religious leaders, to ensure that these efforts are inclusive and aligned with its national interests.
Ani Nigeriawati further said that Indonesia also contributes to global development through initiatives such as Indonesian Aid for Development Cooperation, which support capacity building and sustainable growth in partner countries. According to Ani, these efforts reaffirm Indonesia's role as a reliable partner in the Indo-Pacific and beyond. In parallel, various positive narratives about Indonesia's contributions, such as through Indonesian Aid, have helped connect Indonesia's foreign policy with global narratives and project a positive image of Indonesia internationally. Minister of Culture Fadlizon said that the establishment of the Ministry of Culture in President Prabowo Subianto's administration is a big step. This is because the field of culture was previously always integrated with other fields, but in President Prabowo's red and white cabinet, this field is made a separate ministry. During the Minister of Culture's Ngopi Pagi event with the cultural community at the Minister of Culture office on Thursday, Minister Fadlizon quoted Article 32 of the 1945 Constitution, which mandates the Indonesian state to promote national culture.
Negara memajukan kebudayaan nasional Indonesia di tengah peradaban dunia.
The state promotes Indonesian national culture in the midst of the world civilization by guaranteeing its people to maintain and develop their respective cultures. So this has actually been since 79 years ago. There has been a constitutional order to promote culture. It already exists and it is very strong.
Dan kuat sekali perintah ini memajukan di tengah peradaban dunia. Artinya kita perlu berkontribusi.
Minister Fadlizon added that the formation of a Ministry of Culture is part of President Prabowo's commitment to culture. He said that since he and Deputy Minister of Culture Giring Ganesha were inaugurated, he and Giring have traveled around Indonesia to meet cultural communities to observe their aspiration. According to Minister Fadli, Indonesia's national cultural wealth, which he called too diverse, is a wealth that should be appreciated and valued and even used as a national strength. Let's move on to the international news, where the British government supports Indonesia in increasing the needs for a fleet of fishing vessels as part of the two countries' commitment to advancing a sustainable blue economy. A joint statement published by the British government on its website, gov.uk website, on Thursday, quoted by Antara, it has also mentioned the UK's readiness to collaborate with Indonesia in providing advanced, innovative and environmentally friendly vessels through a pilot project being developed. The support is expected to create jobs and boost economic growth in both countries while utilizing technical expertise and green technology funded by the UK. The joint statement was published after the British Prime Minister and President Prabowo Subianto, who are currently in the UK, agreed to strengthen cooperation to celebrate 75 years of bilateral relations between the two countries. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs stated that Indonesia regrets the failure of the United Nations Security Council to pass a draft resolution for a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, Palestine, and the release of all hostages on Wednesday. Reported by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in a social media account X on Thursday, The ministry said the failure hampered the peace process and further exacerbated the suffering of the Palestinian people. The Ministries of Foreign Affairs also said Indonesia encourages the international community to take all necessary immediate steps in a bid to achieve a permanent ceasefire and unhindered access and distribution of humanitarian assistance for Palestinians. Last Wednesday, the United States again vetoed the draft UN Security Council resolution. The draft resolution submitted by Algeria, Ecuador, Guyana, Malta, Mozambique, South Korea, Sierra Leone, Slovenia, and Switzerland had received 14 votes. The United States, a permanent member of the UNSC, previously vetoed three UNSC draft resolutions calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Indonesia and the United States established a partnership through an education and training program for Indonesian dairy farmers to improve the quality of dairy commodities and support the government's free nutritious meal program. Reported by Antara, the United States Ambassador to Indonesia, Kamala Shirin Lakhdir, at the launch of the program in Jakarta on Thursday, said that the education program is a testament to the strong partnership between the two countries, which is based on a shared commitment to innovation and sustainability. Ambassador Kamala hoped by equipping dairy farmers with knowledge and tools, the initiative is expected to not only strengthen the agricultural sector, but also contribute to improving the health and well-being of children through better nutrition programs. The cattle farmer education program covers farm management, dairy animal nutrition, improvement of milk quality and yield, and animal health. The partnerships involve the United States Dairy Exports Council, USDEC, the New Mexico State Department of Agriculture, New Mexico State University, and a number of Indonesian partners. The Australian government announced a new grant worth $300,000 equivalent to 3.11 billion rupiah for the development of biosecurity of the Indonesian cattle industry. Quoted by Antara, Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Penny Williams said the grant, which is run through the Meat and Livestock Australia program and its animal health company partner Ausvet, is in line with the commitment to strengthen agricultural cooperation between the two countries. Williams, in a written statement from the Australian Embassy in Jakarta on Thursday, said the funding was aimed at supporting the development of an accreditation framework for cattle feedlots with strong biosecurity practices and the establishment of an Indonesia-led cattle feedlot consultancy. The program run through the grant also aims to extend biosecurity coverage to dairies. Listener, now let's move it on to commentary for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on U.S. thwarts ceasefire process in Gaza. The ceasefire process in Gaza has again failed after the United States vetoed a ceasefire resolution aimed at stopping the genocide in Gaza. Last Wednesday, the United States once again vetoed a proposed United Nations Security Council ceasefire resolution for the Gaza Strip. The close ally of Israel vetoed a draft Security Council resolution demanding an immediate, unconditional, and permanent ceasefire in Gaza. The resolution also called for preventing starvation of the Palestinian people. Deputy U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Robert Wood, said Washington would only support a resolution that explicitly calls for the release of hostages as part of a ceasefire. The U.S. stance has drawn criticism from other members of the U.N. Security Council. British envoy Barbara Woodward, who also serves as UNSC or Security Council chair for November, expressed regret over the U.S. veto. According to Woodward, all parties must respect international humanitarian law. French envoy Nicolas de Riviere regretted the veto exercised by the U.S. and stressed that the situation in Gaza is getting worse every day. According to him, the only appropriate response is a ceasefire. Meanwhile, Russian ambassador to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia, accused the U.S. of obstructing and making it difficult for the Security Council to deal with the disaster situation in Gaza, siding with one party in the conflict to advance its own political interests at the expense of the lives of the Palestinian people. Chinese envoy Fu Kong also accused the U.S. of obstructing the hopes of the Palestinian people to survive and pushing them further into darkness and despair through the use of its veto. The veto power held by permanent members of the UN Security Council is often an obstacle in resolving conflicts in the world, including Russia's veto a few days ago on a UN resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in the war between the Sudanese military and paramilitary forces. The use of the veto is not only for the issue of a ceasefire, but also related to the delivery of humanitarian aid to millions of people in the dire need. Hopefully, the countries that have veto rights can prioritize humanity by abandoning their political interests so that human tragedies can be minimized. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with November 22, 1935, when the world's first commercial trans-Pacific airmail service launched. On September 22, 1935, the American airline Pan Am launched the world's first commercial trans-Pacific airmail service. The service was operated by a Martin M130 aircraft named the China Clipper. At that time, the China Clipper departed from San Francisco on the west coast of the United States for Manila, the Philippines. Delivering more than 110,000 pieces of mail, the aircraft arrived in Manila on November 29th after stopping over islands in the Pacific Ocean. Let's move it on to November 22, 1967, when the UN rejected Israel's territorial expansions in the Six-Day War. The UN Security Council passed UN Security Council Resolution 242 on November 22, 1967. The resolution demanded that Israel immediately withdraw its forces from all territories it had occupied in the Six-Day War in June 1967. In the war, Israel took control of the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip in Palestine, and the Golan Heights in Syria. The resolution became the basis for subsequent agreement negotiations between Israel and Arab countries, such as the 1979 Israel's Egypt Agreement and the 1990s agreement with the Palestinian Authority. I'll end today in history with November 22, 1971, when Land Transportation Day first observed in Indonesia. November 22nd is commemorated in Indonesia's Land Transportation Day, which is part of a reflection of the presence of land transportation in Indonesia. Land Transportation Day in Indonesia was initiated by the Ministry of Transportation of the Republic of Indonesia in 1971 with the aim of raising public awareness of the importance of public transportation on land. The Land Transportation Day in Indonesia is also commemorated to encourage people to choose public transportation on land. Currently, land transportation in Indonesia is threatened by more than 47,000 kilometers of national roads and more than 2,500 kilometers of toll roads. In addition, bus rapid transit in several Indonesian cities and the Jakarta's Bandung Fast Train, WUSH, have enriched land-based public transportation in Indonesia.
Every minute it makes me
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Trade Ministry kept trying to protect domestic industry and encourage more export by the micro, small and medium enterprises, MSMEs, through various strategic policies. In the working meeting with the House of the Representative Commission 6 in Jakarta on Wednesday, Trade Minister Budi Santoso explained that one of the efforts is tightening import monitoring by imposing anti-dumping import duty and safeguard import duty, especially textile products. Additional import duty is imposed on fashion products and accessories import, which applies for 3 years until November 2024. The additional import duty rate for clothing products in Finance Minister Regulations 142/2021 is set at around 19,260 rupiah to 63,000 rupiah per piece in the first year, then gradually decreasing. Minister Budi gave an example. For example, for ready-made clothing products and ready-made clothing accessories, additional import duties have been imposed and are currently in the process of being extended. In addition, according to him, yarn, curtains, fabrics, and carpets are parts of textiles, and textile products are also subject to trade safeguard import duties. In addition to tightening import supervision, the Ministry of Trade is also actively encouraging increased export of MSMEs products through the MSMEs PISA program. This program has two main approaches, namely, the resource-based approach and the market-based approach. Through the resource-based approach, Budi said, the Ministry of Trade will assist MSMEs in improving the quality of their products through various programs, such as design innovation assistance and exports coaching. In addition, the use of export centers and the empowerment of export instructor will also be optimized. Meanwhile, through the market-based approach, the Ministry of Trade will focus on developing the MSMEs export ecosystem through product marketing facilitation, increasing the role of aggregators, and optimizing the role of Indonesian trade representative abroad in export promotion.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder. Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to East Nusa Tenggara, Indonesia, when you shouldn't miss out on its culinary delights such as Sei Sapi, the region's signature smoked beef dish. Sei Sapi is best enjoyed with their other specialty, Rumpu Rampe. Consisting of stir-fried vegetables, it can be found everywhere, from the local dining tables to markets, eateries, and restaurants. The people of East Nusa Tenggara, who mostly work as farmers, make them live side by side with natural products. Among the crops they grow, they are papaya and cassava, which then transforms into a complementary dish known as Rumpu Rampe. This dish features a mix of ingredients such as papaya leaves, cassava leaves, moringa leaves, young papaya fruit, papaya flowers, and banana blossoms. To prepare it, these vegetables must be boiled first, then it's stir-fried with shrimp and anchovies for added flavor. Listener, Rumpu Rampe is often served with jagung bose, a corn-based dish that replaces rice in East Nusa Tenggara. It is also paired with sambal luat or luat sauce and sei sapi. When it's served, Rumpu Rampe has a savory taste with a hint of bitterness. Rumpu Rampe usually costs between 10,000 to 20,000 rupiah, or about 1 to 1.5 US dollars per serving. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Lupakan mantanmu sebentar saja itu takkan membunuhmu. Oh.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, today's miscellany informs you about Airlangga University students from Indonesia who have once again made a proud achievement. This time, the Ocean Pulse Smart Vest team won a silver medal in the technology category at the 2nd International Youth Summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Sunday. They came up with an innovative and creative idea, namely a cooling vest specifically for fishermen. The team also collaborated with a student from 10 November Institute of Technology, East Java. The team came up with an innovation of a smart life vest that can provide a cool sensation for the wearer. One of the team members, Istighfar Rohmah, explained about this smart vest innovation. The Ocean Pulse Smart Vest is a smart life vest that has technology that can release a cold sensation when the ambient temperature increases. This idea arose from the many cases of heat stroke in traditional fishermen who go to sea during the day. The hot temperature in the sea can cause a drastic increase in body's temperature. This can be harmful for fishermen because it can cause heat stroke, seizures, and even bleeding. Listener, this smart life vest works automatically with a thermoelectric cooling sensor, namely Peltier. How it works is that the sensor embedded in the vest will detect an increase in temperature in the surrounding area. If the temperature reaches 38 degrees Celsius, the sensor will automatically activate the Peltier to release a cold sensation on the vest. This innovation is expected to be marketed to traditional fishermen. This is in accordance with the facts in the field where traditional fishermen mostly use traditional boats that do not have shade, so they are prone to heat stroke in the middle of hot weather at sea. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to play a meaningful song from Central Java, Perahu Layar. The song Perahu Layar was composed by Javanese art maestro Ki Narto Sabdo in the 2000s and popularized by legendary Campursari singer Didi Kempot. With this distinctive Campursari tune, Perahu Layar is often used as a musical accompaniment to traditional Javanese dances. Perahu Layar invites listeners to take a moment to unwind by traveling to the sea or beach. The lyrics tells the story of the beautiful water glistening in the sunlight set against backdrop of a ship sailing across the ocean. Listeners, here's Perahu Layar sung by Didi Kempot. Happy listening.
Join gise gembira alera palera banyune sekoro anggria numpak perahu layar ing dina minggu ke pariwisata.
Voice of Indonesia.
Beautiful. All I love is our chimerical end. It is more than just physical attraction. Even though we're individuals, but we have this spiritual connection. The passionate is always you, the one and only. Baby, you can call me every time you feel you want me. And I'll be there for you, and I know you too. And I love you till the world is falling apart.
Jadi diriku sendiri, aku tambah yakin kepada kamu.
What?
Kamu,
who?
Kamu,
yeah.
Kau adalah yang terindah, yang membuat hatiku tenang. Cintai kamu takkan pernah takut, sebab kau terima segala ku.
Here we go, so cute, girl. Hey, but don't be jealous. But I'm hanging with my fellas. When me and you together, girl, it's like the time is endless. And when the time is right, I'll be happy by my side. Saying this to your dad, sir. Can I marry your daughter? Sing it for me, girl.
Do you love me like I love you?
Of course I do.
Listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.